Let's start with Sabbath Assembly now. We just checked out Restore to One, the album that's coming out on June 21st in the UK and 22nd in the US. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind the band?
Well, the songs on Restore to One are the original hymns of the Processed Church at the Final Judgment. We were interested in recording these hymns basically based on the lyrical content. We found it very intriguing, and the hymns had never been previously recorded, and the songs moved us very much, so we decided that the world ought to hear them. And we took on the task of re-recording it ourselves. The songs, the hymns from the sheet music weren't really very... I'm sorry, there's a plane going. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, the songs from the sheet music were really nothing like songs that I would ever write myself. So there was a bit of reprocessing involved as far as our interpretation of the hymns, but we wanted to be quite careful because normally when you cover someone else's material, you're changing it, you're covering it, and doing your own brand new interpretation. But in this case, that wasn't really appropriate, considering the world had never heard these hymns, and also wasn't possible since they never were previously recorded, so there was no reinterpretation. It was just this first interpretation. So there was a bit of rearranging. We did some tempo changes, some song structure changes, lots of vocal arrangements, and interludes, intros, outros.
And how did you guys come across this hymns for you to have the desire of reinterpreting them?
Well, we had the fortune to meet Timothy Wiley, who was one of the original Process members after the release of the book Love, Fear, Sex, Death that came out on Frail House. Or sorry, Love, Sex, Fear, Death, I think is what it is. Came out on Frail House Books. And just in talking to him and getting our hands on all 62 of these hymns, it was just, it just seemed like the job for us. You know, we started to play through the hymns and we did a couple of performances around the release of the book. And those performances were set within the context of a mass. Essentially, we recreated an original Processian mass. We got a hold of some of the original orders of service, and we did like a live service, and it was intermixed with some hymns and readings by an evangelist and a sacrificist, and I would say it pretty closely resembled what their masses might have been like. And as we continued to do these performances, the songs continued to kind of shape change, and they really moved us, and we really just wanted to give the world an opportunity to be moved by them as well.
And how much of your own beliefs and ideologies are similar to what the ideologies of the Process Church have?
Well, I didn't know so much about their ideology before this experience, but now that I've learned so much, they're actually quite similar. Process Church focuses primarily on the unification of the light and the dark. You know, Christ and Satan joined in unity, Lucifer and Jehovah, and embracing all of those sides in oneself, so that there's not that inner conflict and self-judgment that you would normally feel if you were raised in, you know, Catholicism.
Do you guys ever feared any, like, backlash from, like, Christian groups or whatever, since they saw that you guys were kind of redoing some of the stuff from this movement from the 60s and 70s?
I don't fear that, no. I think that the music isn't really... it's very open and welcoming. I was just saying that I think that the music is very welcoming, and that it's more like asking questions rather than jamming their ideas down your throat. It's more of presenting a way of looking at the world and accepting the situation around you and making the changes from within.
And when you guys were arranging the music, did you ever thought about giving it like a stronger, more, I don't know, well, let's say metal-oriented basis? Or?
Yeah. Well, we did. In fact, that was kind of our thoughts in the beginning, considering both mine and Christian's backgrounds are in metal, but it just didn't seem appropriate in this case. The songs really sound now how I think they wanted to sound. We really didn't impose our own ideas about, you know, the way we wanted to cover the songs. Instead, we used all of our knowledge about the Process Church and what we'd learned from their theology and what we'd learned from the book, and took our own personal experiences into it, and of course our own influences made their way in there anyway. But we really didn't want to steal the songs away from the original composers, because, you know, the songs are uncredited. We tried very hard to find the original composers of these hymns, and we couldn't. They were never recorded, and it's pretty clear, at least to Christian and I, that the songs were really written with the purest of intentions and from a place of complete devotion. And so we wanted that to come across through our versions, rather than just kind of hijack them and make them, you know, more about us.
And during the presentations that you said you had before the recording of the album, did you ever had any experiences with somebody coming up to you guys and saying, hey, well, I was a member of the church, and I don't really think that this is the way they were, or did you have positive feedback, Matt?
Were you at one of our performances? How did you know that?
Oh, I'm just asking. I'm just guessing.
It's true. We did have several original Processians come to our performances, both in Los Angeles and New York, and across the board, they all said that's not what the song sounded like. But most of them said that with a big smile on their face, and said that we were able to channel that good feeling that they felt when they were originally singing the songs. So that was a compliment. But yeah, from what they tell us, it sounds like the songs were really just straight up, you know, organ and joyful singing, very churchy. Although in the book, there is a photograph of a Process band, and they all have electric instruments and microphones, so I don't know. I'm sure it sounded different in every chapter.
Yeah. And what are your plans? How far are you planning on taking this besides some more performances? And
well, we're planning some live shows, which will vary. Some may have some of the mass, more ritual aspect, and then others might just be more about, you know, straight up rock concert, you know, performing the songs. And then as far as, you know, doing more material, there are 62 hymns, and we've only recorded 9 of them. So there's a lot more for us to pull from, and I guess we'll just have to see how strong the urge is inside of us and if there's any demand for it after this record.
And from the press reviews and everything, what are you guys' thoughts on what people are saying about this record?
Well, I haven't gotten a lot of feedback, but the little bit of feedback that I've gotten so far has been positive. People say it sounds pretty authentic, and that always cracks me up because none of us really know what that means, like, for it to sound authentic, but I'm glad that that's what they feel. And I had a really fun time making the record, and I think it sounds killer. I would like it even if we weren't on it, so.
And why did you guys decide to release it through, we got the promo through Ashna, and why do you guys, how do they approach you guys to release this album?
Well, Ajna approached us after one of our process ritual performances that we did in Oregon, I believe. Yeah. And we were heading into the studio the next day to record the album. And he was so enthusiastic, and our shared views on the occult, you know, made us want to work together.
Okay, so, I mean, just going now through your more metal-ish stuff, your EP Witness came out in April, and are there any plans for a full-length release this year?
There's definitely plans for a full-length. I'm not sure that we're going to have it released by the end of the year, though.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I'm working with a brand new band now with this EP, and it's going very well. Everybody fits together quite well. There's a really good chemistry. So I'd like to do this next record with those guys. But at the moment, I'm quite far away from them, so anything that we do is kind of hanging on me getting to them. I feel like we may have a live album in us and possibly a split before the full length comes out.
You guys have performed a lot in Europe and different festivals in Europe, but not a lot in the States. What do you think that's due?
Well, we've never tried to tour in the States because our record was released in Sweden, so I was playing with other bands and just never really got it together to try a U.S. tour. But perhaps with the release of the next full length, we'll do it.
And
I have no plans to tour the U.S. for the EP either.
And from the feedback and everything you heard from the EP and in the first self-titled album, how do you think the U.S. will be ready for a tour of you guys?
You know, I don't know. We've never tried, and frankly, I'm so happy with the response from the full length and so far from the EP. You know, I don't know. I'm sure we'd have to get on a bill with the right band.
And from all the bands, you have a lot of different musical inspirations. What would you say are the strongest ones behind your own particular sound?
You're talking about for Juxtapose now, not for Sabbath Assembly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because for Sabbath Assembly, we really did try not to have a conversation about our influences just before and try not to plan out what it would sound like. But of course, they creep in, as they always do, because they just seep out of you. There's no stopping it. As far as my own personal influences, Catherine Ribeiro is a huge influence for me. She sang all different types of music and with full-on commitment. I love all different types of music. I would say that there are tons of non-metal influences that I bring to Juxtapose, as well as my metal influences. I'm, of course, a huge Slayer, Danzig fan, but I would say that, my love of Neil Young creeps in there, too, in some spots.
I mean, Prince Uriah Sound has, like, a lot of doom metal influences. What are your influences from that side?
Ah, yes. Well, I was very fortunate at Roadburn to get to see Moth play. I'm a big fan of Moth. It was an incredible show. In fact, the singer of Moth was wearing a Process Church patch on his vest, on his denim vest. I was so shocked to see that. I really love Earth, that band Earth. Was super psyched to work with Randall Gunn actually on the Process recordings because he recorded many of their records.
And from current music, what do you think you can, or can you say that you draw inspirations from more modern bands?
I'm sorry?
From modern bands.
What is the question?
Yeah, do you get any inspirations from any of the modern bands coming out these days?
Oh, yeah. I love Wishcraft. I would say they're definitely up there. God, I don't know other modern bands that would have an influence on this most recent album. Nothing in particular, you know. Really bonded with the band over, you know, the old stuff.
And
with the new band.
Ideologically, where do you think that you draw your strongest ideas for the lyrics?
Most of my lyrics deal with, conquering personal struggles and finding the strength from within to do so.
And do you think that, and your personal experience now, like you mentioned, with the research that you had to do for Sabbath Assembly, has this been enriched, or how has it changed, in your opinion?
I think it took my ideas and just kind of like opened them up even more, so that I can be even more accepting of myself and have a greater sense of personal responsibility in the areas of my life where perhaps I wanted to shift responsibility to the outside. And in doing that, you do feel empowered.
And out of the process church beliefs, what are your thoughts when the Scientologists call them monsters and pretty much outcast them?
Yeah, as you know, the process was started by two ex-Scientologists, and they did a lot of T-scope and E-meter testing and compulsions analysis, and I mean, that stuff's really interesting. But I don't know that it's changed my way of thinking in any way.
And what do you think about their approaches? Like, they're all aggressive and shutting down anything talking bad or even good about them.
Well, normally I just say that we do not wish to glorify all of the teachings of the Process Church. I don't know. I mean, they were very committed, very passionate people, and they sang about the end of the world with a big smile on their face. So I can appreciate that.
And so your stance is that, I mean, well, like, the process is more about, you know, the illumination and the knowledge, but there's not like a fee involved, like the Scientologist. What's your thought on that?
No, I don't think there was so much, although, you know, it was a cult, and with any cult, there's someone at the top, and that person at the top, in the end, is usually acting in their own self-interest, and the interests of the group get lost, and that's a dangerous path to follow.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just about to wrap it up, so is there anything else you want to say to your fans, both for them? The new ones you're going to gain with Sabbath Assembly and the old ones from your own project?
Thanks for continuing to check out their music, and I hope that this new Sabbath Assembly opens up people's minds to maybe seeing some of the light also with the dark.
And do you guys have any future live performances besides the one listed for June 1st?
We have one for June 1st. We have a record release party on June 15th at Glasslands in Brooklyn. And then Juxtapose currently has a tour being booked for the end of October through September in Europe.
Okay. Well, thank you.